It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
At Audi Columbus, luxury meets convenience. Family-owned since 1897, we've built our reputation on trust, transparency, and innovation. Browse our selection online and complete your purchase from home. Then simply stop by to pick up your keys.
Drive home a new 2025 Audi Q6 e-tron for $499 for 36 months with $5,295 down.
The next generation shops online. Experience the future with us at AudiColumbus.com. Buyers Auto, driving the next generation of buyers.
See dealer for details. Offer ends 9/30/25.
This is the Adam Carriker Show on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
Welcome back to Hour 2 of the Adam Carriker Show here on 93.7 The Ticket. All right, Hour 2 of this fine program is sponsored by our good friends at Suizo Construction, where safety is not just a policy. It is a promise. Suizo is hiring skilled craftsmen, laborers, concrete workers, and steel erectors who value quality work in a team that has your back, both on and off the job site. Apply today at suizo.com. 40 years strong in business. Suizo Construction. Again, that's S-C-H-W-I-S-O-W, suizo.com. Right, is there anything off the text line real quick? Are we good?
There's a few good things here. 0778 says, can we start calling Archie Wilson the crocodile punter?
Ooh, okay. You know what? You got the. I had to think about that for a sec. I like that.
Not
actually.
Bad.
I actually like that. That's a good one. I like that. We'll have to ask Archie, but I'm down.
9040 says, yes, we are blue blood, true freshman. He expects Mosey and Mills will be both impact players at some point throughout the season. And then 0739 asks, Adam, in today's college football world, would you have transferred after your freshman season?
Okay. So I thought about sharing this when I talked about being homesick. I was legit homesick. Okay. So I was legit homesick. I can tell you I was legit, like, it really had nothing to do with football. When you have frustrations with people that you have to see every day, aka a roommate, and then that got remedied the second semester, and then you're just homesick, and you know you're going to be on the scout. That's part of it, you know? I went back home after the bowl game. I came back and I mentioned the other day, that was probably the best spring practice I ever had. Like, I just needed to go home. That's what I needed. I was there for like, I don't know, maybe a week and a half, 10 days. I came back and I never looked back. I really didn't. I was like, bam, let's light this candle. Now I will share a story. I don't think I've ever shared it publicly. There are people close to me who know. I almost transferred after my redshirt freshman season. If I've shared this on the show, let me know. That Oklahoma State game, the last time we beat a Power 4 team the first game of the season, because you and I looked it up, 2003, 22 years ago, my redshirt freshman season. The night before, the D-line coach came and sat by me while we were eating dinner. He goes, you're going to play 18 to 20 plays tomorrow. And he kind of diatribed why and everything else. The next day rolls around. I played one play. And I still have. They gave me the block of the week. It's like this brick block of the week. I blocked the field goal. I didn't see the field the rest of the day. I played zero defensive snaps. I was pissed. I don't know how else to put it. Now, had he told me, hey, you may or may not play tomorrow, I'd have been okay. I got no problem with that. You know, that's where you think I'm at. That's where I'm at. But when you tell me 18 to 20 and then it's zero defensive snaps, admittedly, I didn't always see eye to eye with him. I didn't always see eye to eye with him to begin with. I didn't commit to play to Nebraska because of him. He wasn't even the D-line coach when I committed to play here. But I didn't like being lied to. I didn't like being misled. And I told my parents, I said, I'm thinking about transferring. Because I didn't like being lied to. Like, if you yell at me, if you scream at me, if you call me everything but a child of God, if it's in the vein of truth and honesty, I can live with it. If you think I deserve to play zero plays game one because you're playing a ranked Oklahoma State team and Pelini's first game as a D coordinator and Solich needs, he came off the 7-7 season, he needs to win some games, and you feel somebody else gives you the best option, a D end, I'm okay with that. I did not like being lied to. And so I told my parents, and I didn't hide it from the D-line coach either. And he got perturbed with me, which made it worse. He goes, "You're upset after a huge win like this," which actually did bother me. I was like, all right, am I being selfish? My response was, "You lied to me." Obviously, I didn't go anywhere. I would liken it to when I thought about leaving to go to the NFL draft early after my junior year, because I talked with my dad. And again, it was a short conversation. There's a reason you want to wait 24 hours before you message a youth sports coach if you're unhappy with playtime, or before you talk to somebody if you're upset. Because within 24 hours, it wasn't even a thought. I was just mad in the locker room, in the moment, the rest of the evening. Maybe for about 24 hours, and my dad goes, "What do you want to do?" I said, "My lifelong dream was to play for Nebraska." He goes, "So what do you want to do?" I go, "I can't believe I'm here. It's mind-blowing to me that I actually got to do this. I was a quarterback on a high school team that was 0-9. Here I am halfway across the country, and somehow my lifelong dream came true." And he just goes, "Well, what do you want to do?" I was like, "I'm staying." Like, Nebraska football, I didn't commit because of a coach, Lev Solich at the time. I didn't commit because of a D coordinator or a D line coach, which was good because they were both gone after my freshman year. I didn't stay because of a D line coach. I stayed because I love Nebraska football and it was my lifelong dream. In today's day and age, would I have transferred? I still don't think so, because it wasn't, I would have gone to the NFL early if it was about money. I could have made another year's worth of NFL money. I can honestly say I would have thought about it, but it probably would have been just like after I was lied to my freshman year, or like I talked about the other day after my junior year when I thought about leaving early. It was 2 5-minute conversations, although I did need a little bit longer to calm down after I was lied to. But once the conversations happened, it was 5 minutes and I was coming back. Like, this is what I wanted to do. There's a reason I moved my family back to Lincoln, Nebraska. And this is what I can't believe. A guy who used to have speech therapy for the first 6 years of school, K through fifth grade, was terrified to talk and everything else, now does this for a living. But what helps is I'm talking about something I love. So, all right. Anything else from the text line, Jake?
Not as of now.
Not as of now. All right. Nebraska. Blue blood or not. Text line. Blow us up. Let us know. And try to be as unbiased as you can be, just like I try to every day on this show. Quick answer. Is Nebraska still a blue blood or not, Jake?
Absolutely, yeah.
So, Pete Thamel, all right, along with Desmond Howard, every Nebraska fan's two favorite national analysts, says that here are the 12 college football blue bloods. I don't think there's 12, but here we go. Alabama, Florida State, in alphabetical order, Georgia, LSU, Miami, Michigan, Notre Dame, Ohio State, Oklahoma, Tennessee, Texas, and USC. Now, he did talk about some schools that were left off, if you read the article, Florida and Nebraska. Initial thoughts, Jake?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's interesting. You know, you look at all kind of the, you know, I always kind of look at the 900 win club, which Nebraska is firmly in, as a pretty good metric. You kind of, you do have these historical metrics, but with, you know, 3 Heisman Trophy winners, 5 national championships, like, again, in that 900 win club, I think Nebraska is there. Now, are they fading? Have they kind of been moved to the back? It's hard to argue, right? I mean, when you see the 8 that are listed, like you said, that is generally seen in the blue bloods, which is Michigan, Ohio State, Alabama, Notre Dame, Texas, Oklahoma, and Nebraska. Nebraska is in the back, and they're in the back of the wins club too. So, I mean, that's been part of, as far as total wins, I should say as well, they're about 19 behind Penn State, who's not included in the blue blood category. By many. So it can be kind of an interesting cutoff line, but to get all the way to 12, I think you're just using a lot of, if you can call recency bias the last 50 years, that's recency bias, but I think it's a lot of kind of looking into that. And, you know, so it's kind of funny because you can have different arguments. Should Miami care if you call them a blue blood or not, if they won 5 straight titles, you know, not straight titles, but 5 titles really quickly there in the 80s and 90s. I don't necessarily know if that should bother them all that much. But again, there's more standards to when you're talking about blue blood. And that's what I don't like is when people just throw it out there and act like the history of it doesn't matter. They're just kind of just throwing it out there with the teams they see at the top of the of college football. Blue blood is earned. It's not just something that you can just kind of give and take away. That being said, there is, like you were kind of saying, and with Nebraska sliding to the back of that, if you are go decades and decades of not fulfilling, winning and playing relevant football, then you do kind of get into a dangerous territory, which I think Nebraska is beginning to kind of battle against here, as we see. But if I'll be honest with you, anybody that, kind of discloses Nebraska out of the blue blood discussion, I think is looking for some clicks.
That's a fair point. If you leave them out, if you leave them in, you're not going to get much of a reaction. You leave them out, you're going to get a reaction. So that's actually, it's maybe a fair point. Because this is the same guy that tried to make rules joke, like a serious statement. He wanted 40 teams in college football playoff. Same guy, right? Yeah, that's what I thought. All right. So a couple of things. When Nebraska first joined the Big Ten, and we do need to start winning games, or we will start to slip off this list. The majority of people have us on it. Unequivocally have us on it, but if we don't start winning more games, we will start to slip, and at a certain point, it'll be hard to argue. But just keep in mind, when Nebraska first joined the Big Ten, we had as many national championships by ourselves, 5, as the rest of the Big Ten did combined. That's Ohio State, that's Penn State, that's Michigan, where they supplied the other 5 combined at that time. Now, Michigan's won more since, Ohio State's won more since, and we know that. But Nebraska hasn't been in the Big Ten for like 20, 30, 40 years, so keep that in mind. When you look at recency bias, all right, well, I love Tennessee. I've been a fan of Tennessee since I was a kid. I loved watching. It was Fulmer and Spurrier, and it was Tennessee and Florida every year in September. I felt like the SEC championship was decided like week 3 every year in September. Peyton and Danny Werfel and all those guys that would play each other. When they won in 98 and stomped a mud hole in Florida State, the score is misleading as to how badly Tennessee actually dominated Chris Winkie and the Noles in that game. I was happy. That being said, I have a hard time with Tennessee being on here. They have 1 national championship, not a ton of SEC titles.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along. Which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free. At ZipRecruiter.com/zip. That's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
A BetterHelp ad. Lewis Capaldi partnered with BetterHelp to get word out about how important therapy can be.
I struggle most weeks to like get up, get myself up and ready and go to therapy or, whatever. Like even like to open the laptop to talk to my therapist sometimes can be really difficult, but I do it because I realise how important it is for me to continue to feel good. Like, 'cause I felt the best I've felt in a long time through therapy.
Learn more about online therapy at betterhelp.com.
I think you can count them on one hand, as a matter of fact. And recently, prior to the past 2 years, they've actually struggled a lot. So I'm like, what? Pardon me, sir, when it comes to Tennessee. And I hope Tennessee's good. I got sick and tired of watching Alabama stomp a mud hole in them the third Saturday in every October. And now that Tennessee has beaten them and they're kind of rolling, I'm a Heupel fan. I'm excited to see them do well, but I'm sorry. What? Georgia, that's definitely a recency bias thing because they hadn't won one since, what, 82 until Kirby Smart. And obviously they won a couple lately. Anytime you talk about the Florida schools, they're so up and down. pre-Bobby Bowden, and he really got there in the 80s, they weren't anything. And then they were named the team of the 90s, or the team of the decade in the 90s. I can argue Nebraska, a topic for another day. They were that good. They finished as a top five team. I forget what it was, like 10 years straight or something like that, which was the tiebreaker ultimately between them and Nebraska, even though Nebraska had more national championships in the 90s. But they've been so up and down, which you can argue about Nebraska as well, but it's not like they're sitting here with four, five, six national titles either. LSU, I think they have three national titles. They may have more. Was their first one in 07 under Saban?
I can look it up.
Look it up. Maybe Saban was earlier. I know they won one in 07 because that was one of the wildest years in the history of college football. They were the first two-loss team to win a national title since the 1930s. And there's a fine line between what you've done recently and what you've done over time, because there was a time in the 1930s where Minnesota won three straight national championships and they shouldn't be on this list at all. So it's kind of, where is that cutoff point? All right. Here was his criteria. He did give criteria. Okay. Top 15 in program win percentage, minimum 750 games, and at least one national title in two of the three eras. He defined the eras as AP or coaches poll. Okay, BCS, and the playoff era. Historical success is the ultimate eliminator when deciding a team's blue blood status, and USC has one of the richer histories in college football, which should have helped Nebraska, if we're making that argument here. All right, and so that was really kind of his criteria that he had. Did you see what year LSU won their first national title?
So LSU in 2003 was Saban's, but that's apparently in 1958 they've got one. So they've got 58, 03, 07, and 19 for four titles.
So let me ask you, because there's a difference between winning a national title and claiming a national title. Is it a claimed national title or is it an actual national title in 58? Because if you go by claimed national titles, there's some schools with like 22 national championships.
Yeah, they finished 10-0 and were named the champion by Associated Press and Coaches
Poll. Okay, I can live with that. All right, you start to look at the typical eight teams that are almost always mentioned, or Ohio State, Alabama, Michigan, Oklahoma, USC, Texas, Nebraska, Notre Dame. Like, those are typically the eight teams that are always mentioned. And I actually saw a chart where someone broke it down into tiers, and I actually respected it. It was tier one blue blood, tier two blue blood, and I had no problem with this. Tier one was Ohio State, Alabama, Michigan, Oklahoma. Tier two was USC, Texas, Nebraska, Notre Dame. I don't have any problem with those tiers. Like, if you want to say, hey, we're in the lower tier of the eight blue bloods, I'm fine with that. Let's win some more football games going forward. I think when you look at no other team in the history of college football had, I think it was 42 straight seasons of winning nine plus games. No team has ever done that before. You mentioned the Heisman winners, amount of conference championships. We have the second most amount of conference championships of any team in the history of college football. Okay. When you talk about a 25-year period where Nebraska won more college football games than any other team in the country. In fact, you look at the last 16 games of Osborne's career specifically, Nebraska could have lost all 16 games and still won more games than any other program or any other team in the entire country. Think about that. Instead of winning a national title in 96, he could have lost all of his games plus three or four of the previous season and still won more games during that 25-year period than any other team in the country. Osborne specifically, his last 10 games versus top 10 ranked opponents, he was 10-0 and he beat them by an average margin of victory of 21 points per game. Let me repeat that because I said it too fast. 10-0 versus top 10 ranked opponents and won those games by an average margin of victory of 21 points per game. So most folks, if they want to keep Nebraska off, are going to say, what have you done lately? Hey, not a horrible point. And a lot of those folks live in Iowa, I might add, because I actually did this about 3 years ago. I haven't updated it since, but as of 3 years ago, from 2000 to 2022, because an Iowa person I know kept coming at me. So I sat down. I said, the last 22 years under Ferentz has been pretty good for you guys, right? He's like, yeah, the best 22 years we've ever had. I was like, for Nebraska, you would say not our strongest compared to, you know, the 42-year run of nine-plus wins or more? He goes, yeah. I sat down. From 2000 to 2022, we won more overall football games than Iowa did. It wasn't by much. And it probably favors them since then, but I haven't updated it, so I can't technically say that. My point is, I truly think Nebraska deserves to be one of the eight blue bloods. If you go beyond that into 12, they absolutely have to be in the conversation. If you want to say Ohio State, Alabama, Michigan, even Oklahoma are tier one, I mean, there was a period where Oklahoma won 5 straight Big 12 championships before they went to the SEC, and then they've just been playing like the NFC South, East, and North every year since they got in the SEC, kind of like Florida. And you want to say USC, Texas, Nebraska, Notre Dame, although Texas has made the college football playoff and made it the top 4 the past 2 years. Notre Dame made the national championship game. If you want to say they're tier 2, I'm okay with that. If you go into 12 teams, I don't know how in the world you leave Nebraska off. You look at schools like Florida and Florida State that have phenomenal, phenomenal historical success. But we have more wins. We have more conference titles. We have more national titles. Miami has 5. They tied us. We have more Heisman Trophy winners. We have more All-Americans. And Miami has more first-round draft picks. Like, you start to compare some of these, as great as these other programs are, and as much as we wish we would have won more recently, it kind of doesn't get close when you start comparing us to 9 through 12, which is why we belong in the top 8. And no way we belong outside of the top 12. Anything from the text line, anything otherwise on your end there, Jake, before we go to break?
As you can imagine, there's a pretty strong response on Nebraska's side. But this was, again, kind of to the question, like 0778 says his argument was if Nebraska won in 98 instead of 97, they would be a blue blood because they won in the BCS era. But as the point of is if Nebraska can lose this, say, what about all of Minnesota's leather helmet national championships? And he said, LOL. But that's kind of the point. At one time, you would probably include Minnesota as a blue blood, and I think it can be lost. And then my next question is, could it be gained? Because what we talk about in, as far as the kind of the next team up would be your Tennessee's, Georgia's, but Penn State specifically, mm-hmm. who is part of, again, the 900 win club. They have more wins historically than Nebraska does. And I think what's holding them back a little bit is they have 2 titles and 1 Heisman Trophy winner. Mm-hmm. If they win this year, 3 titles, would that be enough? Would you put Penn State in the blue blood category?
Well, they would have won a national title in 2 of the 3 eras. That would have helped. So I, when it comes to Penn State, they're like the first one that's knocking on the door to me.
Yeah.
I would say it's hard because sometimes Florida's really good, sometimes they're not. Sometimes Florida State's really good, sometimes they're not. Miami, because initially I was going to say Miami would be knocking on the door for me, but they're probably the most up and down of the Florida schools, even though they got the most national titles. Florida may be the most consistent, but they have the least amount of national titles. Florida State has more. Florida State's kind of in the middle. I was going to say Penn State's the one like knocking right on the door for me. And then I was going to say Miami. And I was like, no, Florida, then Florida State. So I would say Penn State and the 3 Florida schools are like knocking right on the door for me just outside the top 12. Because you got to remember, they couldn't get past Florida. They couldn't win an SEC title for a long time until Kirby Smart, which is very, very recent stuff. To me, in my opinion, taking recency bias out of it, Georgia and LSU are kind of the ones knocking on the door, in my opinion, right behind Penn State, Florida, Florida State, Miami. Mm. But if Penn State won another national title, and to that texter's point, if we had won in the BCS era, that's 2 national titles in 3 eras. Do you think if we win that 09 Big 12 championship game, this is even a discussion? What if we beat Oklahoma when we played my senior year in 06? What if we had a 17-point lead on Oklahoma a couple years later? What if we just win one of those games? Do you think that kind of helps solidify? Because right now people can say, hey, it's been 26 years since you won a conference title, let alone a national title. Do you think that, how much does that strengthen our case? It obviously helps it. How much?
Yeah, I mean, I think Nebraska just needs to win. Like you said, just needs to win again and win something significant. Obviously, it's going to be tough these days when a conference title, and it's less, I hate to say it's less important than maybe it used to be.
Yeah, it is.
So it's hard to. And that's going to be frustrating as we move forward. And I hate to say this too, that Nebraska just has to win. Otherwise, you can be the Minnesota leather helmet discussion here in 30 years. Because I think when you throw up, statistics like conference titles, and if those aren't as important in years following, and I really think there's going to be an age, obviously, when people get older. And we just kind of got through this first initial playoff where they're not even going to look at like, oh, that's the pre-playoff era. Well, what are we even talking about then? And so, I think that there's kind of some danger in that. But again, blue blood should be so tied to the history of it in that part. And that's kind of the stats you're talking about. Somebody threw out there from 1970 to 2020, Mississippi Mud Dogs said we had the most wins in that stretch. That's a 50-year stretch. So that's a long time. And so, yeah, I mean, but I Nebraska just needs to win. And then, you know, because at some point you're going to have people that didn't grow up or live through the Nebraska dominance arguing, you know, the importance of it. And it's going to be difficult to have it. So, yeah, I mean, I think a conference championship, even something recent that somebody, you know, 20, 25 years old, whatever, could point to and say, well, at least I remember that and how big of a deal that was. And that's what I can't wait for. When Nebraska does do it, I think the nation's going to somewhat fall in love with the story.
I agree 100%. Is there anything else off the text line, or is that pretty much wrap that up? I know we got to get to break. Does that wrap that up?
Yeah, I should wrap it up.
All right, when we come back, I want to know, we got to move quickly this last segment. Who do you think will be the top impact freshman for Nebraska this upcoming season? Let us know. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
There's nothing like being in the stands, cheering on your favorite team. And the Game Time app gives fans the advantage. Digital cues and prices jumping at checkout can get in the way of you and a great seat. Game Time is your hack to unlocking amazing tickets in just a few taps. It's easy to use, and the Game Time guarantee means you can trust you'll get 100% authentic tickets at the best price. Fees are always included, so what you see is what you pay. You can snag new ticket deals before anyone else by following your favorite teams, or get a panoramic view of the view from your seat, all right from the app. Plus, you can save even more with zone deals by choosing a section and letting Game Time choose the seats. No matter what, your purchase is covered with the most flexible customer service policy in the ticketing industry. Take the guesswork out of buying sports tickets with Game Time. Download the Game Time app and create an account to start searching for tickets to upcoming games and events. Swipe, tap, ticket, go. Game Time.